As we enter into the Word of God through the Psalms this morning, it seems especially appropriate that we begin by bringing ourselves to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, majestic God of heaven and earth, we come before you now asking for the power of your Spirit to lead us into a special time of reverence and discernment. May we sense your presence with us this day as we hear the words of the psalmist and as we strive to understand the message that has transcended time. Guide us to a special place of relationship with you, our God, and give us humility, give us compassion, give us wisdom, and give us hope, we pray, in your holy name. Amen. And hear now the beautiful, passionate, and anguished words of the psalmist in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That, my friends, is a psalm of lament. Many of us have always regarded the Psalms as the poetry of the Bible. They are meticulous in structure. They are pleasant to the ear, but they are so much more. They are spiritual. They lead us into a place with God that only the Psalms can do, because they are passionate cries of a nation and of the individuals who inhabit that nation. They are the words of Israel, the words of David, and the words of psalmists who long to speak to their God with passionate praise, thanksgiving, and lament. And they are all mixed together, just as the lives of the people of ancient Israel, and just like the lives of you and me today. When you and I pray to God each and every day, we are invited to be psalmists, where we pray with the passion of our ancestors. Some psalms are songs of praise, some are shouts of thanksgiving, and yes, some are prayers of lament, where we try to understand why we are experiencing pain or suffering or hardship or loneliness. And we are praying to a God who sometimes seems to be absent. Just like the psalmist in Psalm 42, we always know that we must put our hope in God, for we will yet praise him, our Savior and our God. Psalm 42 is clearly a prayer of lament, and it reflects not only the lives of the people of ancient Israel, but it reflects our lives today. Just as psalms of praise and thanksgiving reflect those aspects of our lives, Psalm 42 allows us to cry out in pain and frustration. It allows us to question God's motives and purpose. It allows us to plead with God to show up. And most importantly, it allows us to slump down in resignation and say, I know I will praise you yet again one day because you are my Savior and my God. You have always been and will always be my greatest hope. We learn from the psalmist that it's okay to be abundantly joyous and thankful and to be distraught and lost, all within the confines of our lives. It has been that way for God's people from the very beginning. It is common in the Psalms that in the middle of a terrible lament and defying logic and without transition, great praise will erupt. And so it is in our lives. Each day we encounter laments, we encounter praise and thanksgiving, and each one can break out unexpectedly at any time. Each situation and each emotion deserves to be expressed in the context of a psalm. It is our expression to our God in whom we put our trust and our hope. Friends, don't ever be so naive as to think that God is not aware of each emotion we feel, and our intentional expression of that emotion to God draws us closer. As one who loves to hike and spend time in nature, as you know, I am struck by the images of nature and God's creation in the Psalms. I personally do my best communicating with God in nature, and we are aware of some intellectual scholars over the ages who have come to believe in God because of what they observed in nature. They have come to believe that such beauty, such awesomeness, such unexplainable, intricate design could not have happened by accident, but rather only God could be the plausible answer for what we see in nature. The references to nature draw us closer to the Creator. Psalm 42 begins, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The image of a beautiful deer panting for a drink of water from a cool stream is incredible. The Hebrew word used here for panting is the word arag, which does not only mean to pant, but it also means to long for or to crave. And so this is not an image of a deer that is panting because it is out of breath from running. No, it's so thirsty that it is longing for the cool water from a stream. It is craving a drink of water. And the psalmist says, so my soul pants for you, my God. You sense the intensity and the passion with which he is longing to know God and to know that God is there. And elsewhere in Psalm 42, we see keen visual references to nature and to creation. In verse 6, it says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in a roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And who is this God to whom he is calling? Can we assume that it's the same God to whom we cry out in our daily lives? Is that the God of the Psalms? As you know, there are many Hebrew names for God, and there were many ancient gods that were worshipped throughout the Old Testament. But in the Psalms, and especially here in Psalm 42, we can take comfort that the psalmist is calling out to our God. You see, in the Hebrews text, the name for God that he is calling to is that of Elohim. Elohim, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. And the Hebrew word is Elohim. And where do you suppose we see the name Elohim in the Hebrew scriptures first of all? It should come as no surprise that when we turn to Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God, it's Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So indeed, it is the God Elohim that we know as the Creator God that is being referenced here in the Psalms. It is that same God that the soul is craving. So we know that the psalmist is calling out to the true God, the Creator God, the Maker of heaven and earth, the God who created the deer and caused it to pant for water, is the same God the psalmist longs to see. The God who created the land of the Jordan, the heights of Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar, that this is the same God, the one the psalmist longs to praise. The God who created the roar of the waterfalls and all the waves and breakers whose image is proclaimed, that is the same God in whom the psalmist puts his hope. He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. When we are longing for prayers to live by, the Psalms lead us to pray to the God known in ancient Israel, the true God who remains with us today and will be with us throughout eternity. It is this kind of prayer that brings us close to God. The intimacy of this prayer surrenders us completely because we must acknowledge that there is no holding back. There is nothing that God doesn't already know about our lives, and he loves us anyway. As distraught as we may feel, it is this God that we want to draw close to, whose presence we long for. Our souls pant to know this God when we offer shouts of joy and praise. They are directed to this one, and we ultimately put our hope in this God. Now, I said a moment ago that the intimacy of this prayer surrenders us completely before God. In our world today, there are two words that strike fear in the hearts of many. One is intimacy, and the other is surrender. Being truly intimate means we get to know someone at the deepest levels. We reject being superficial with that person, and we are open to the fullest with our feelings and emotions. You might say that we are willing to expose our soul. And that is very frightening for so many people in a world of superficial relationships, superficial conversations, and superficial beauty. And to suggest that someone surrender their feelings and emotions and fears and desires to God, well, that just wouldn't make us look strong, would it? We must look strong at all costs because the world we have created through superficial relationships is one that equates surrender with weakness. We don't get rich in this world by being weak. We must be strong, and we can't let others know what we are truly feeling. But the difficulty with that, of course, is that the psalmist helps us to understand that exactly the opposite is true. It is through intimacy with God and total surrender that we become strong and our souls become fulfilled. The greatest wealth the world can know comes from a love relationship where we have no pretenses about who we are and what we feel. You see, our partner in this relationship is a God who already knows all about us and is just waiting for our prayer. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, indeed, we turn to the psalmist to help us understand that you are a God of love and majesty and power and grace. And even in those times when we don't feel like rejoicing or giving thanks, in times when we want to cry out to you in pain or in loneliness or in suffering or in confusion, yet even in those moments we know that you are there. And we say, I yet will praise you, our Savior and our God. So Lord, on this morning, we do lift up to you those who are in need of your comfort and your care. We lift up to all of those who are going through times of medical difficulty. We do lift up to you Janine Williams as she continues to recover from cancer. We pray for complete healing. We lift up to you Flo Richards. Lord, we pray that her surgery now is over and that she indeed will heal and that she will be able to resume a normal life. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that Flo is to so many. And we lift up Jim as he continues to care for Flo, and we pray that his nosebleeds will indeed be stopped. And Lord, this morning we also want to lift up to you Francis. We lift up to you also John as he is resting at home now, but we pray that he too will be able to rejoin us soon and that the healing of his knee will be complete and that he will be able to resume all of the activities in the outdoors that he loves so much. And Lord, we also lift up to you Reverend Love, who is going to be facing surgery on Friday. We pray that you will be with him, that he will feel your presence and your comfort. And we pray that you will be with the doctors and the technicians. Give them wisdom and skill. And we pray that his surgery will be successful. And Lord, we also cannot leave this prayer without saying thank you, without expressing our joy, without expressing our thanksgiving. Because it is through you that we do have hope. It is through you that we can enjoy life. It is through you that we can understand that we do have the promise of eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we lift all of this to you with great joy and thanksgiving. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.